Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time as we work through the Christmas season. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLB 93.1 building at 7 o'clock and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM and over in the Lowell Ada area, 100.3 FM. And we welcome you this morning to our broadcast. Some of you tuned me in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I welcome you and we're streaming both of these broadcasts, Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web. You tune me in by the way of internet radio. I welcome you at 10 o'clock and God's blessing to be upon you. The internet radio station is earsradio.com. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Take your mouse and bring it over. Messages from the Lighthouse and current media, current media will show up. And then you just click on that and it takes you for the broadcast for this morning. Still seem to have a little difficulty with my voice. I'd be seeing the doctor next week to make sure things is okay. But anyway, a thank you to our sponsors helping me with the cost of the broadcast. Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She's from Greenville. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans. And Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. And Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area. I thank you for your support, each and every one. K.N. Kingsinger is selected my music for this morning. I'm trying to get music ready for the first of the year here because she's going to be having a hip replacement. And so we need to get a little bit of work done today to get ahead of things, get started for next year. I always love to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Shiloh's campus in Orleans, where we was for many, many years. I pastored as 50 years there as pastor. Our services there begin Saturday night. Evening at 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we now have a campus in Greenville at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street in Greenville. And that service is at 11 o'clock. And we're still in search for a new senior pastor. And Pastor Jim Lacey, who had been in Greenville for a number of years, he's our intern pastor until we find out who our new pastor is. So just keep us in prayer, and we just appreciate each thing that God takes us through in our individual life to let us know that he loves us and that he cares for us. What a beautiful time of the year, the Christmas season, getting more and more lights being put up on their homes and so on, and that's very nice. I got my manger scene. We got that all put up on Thanksgiving Day, and I'm glad to have that work all done and enjoy that once again. We've been doing that manger scene for 45 years, and it was a blessing to see it working again. Well, we get ready for the broadcast time. I'm just hoping my voice is going to hold out. But in the meantime, we'll listen to a song, and the song that we want to listen to is a kind of a unique song. I had not heard it before. But K.N. has a way of finding some music like that. It's called Stars and Stripes. It's talking about Jesus going from the Star of Bethlehem to the stripes that he took and his beatings that he had just before he was crucified. And it's talking about Betsy Ross, the creator of our American flag, and how the Stars and Stripes are beautiful. We love our country. We love our nation. But we also love what God has done for each and every one of us. So let's listen in, and I'll be right back with the message. And we'll be looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us this morning through his word in the Christmas message. And what a blessing it is to be able to celebrate the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll be right back.
Betsy never saw a star like that. a star. Though in love she made a flag for this great land, for the star that shone so bright as the angels sang that night brought the light of the world to Bethlehem. From a star whose stripes was the life of Jesus Christ, from a manger bed to the cross where he was led. And though there's glory in all glory, she could quite compare to the glory of the cross of Calvary. Betsy never knew a stripe like his stripes, for hers were born of love and his of hate. For my freedom, hers were made. For my healing, his were laid. I could never thank them both enough today. From a star to stripes was the life of Jesus Christ. From a manger bed to the cross where he was led. And though there's glory in all glory, she could never quite compare to the glory of the cross of Calvary. From a star to stripes was the life of Jesus Christ. From a manger bed cross where he was led. And though there's glory in all glory, she could never quite compare to the glory, of the cross, of Calvary.
Good job. I love that. As I mentioned, I had never heard that song before, but I love the idea. Our stars and stripes of our flag of the United States of America are special. And yet at the same time, we realize that Jesus Christ, there was a star that shined brighter than any other star that led the men to the place where Jesus was born. And what a privilege it is to know that this one Jesus, born in the humble way that he was, went to that cross of Calvary. And before that, it tells us that they beat upon him. And it tells us we are healed by his stripes in the book of Isaiah. We claim that this morning, but I want to speak a prayer on behalf of our listening audience, because you're the reason I'm here. And the reason I'm sitting in front of this microphone here at my lighthouse at Long Lake, the lake is not frozen over any yet, so we can't do any ice fishing or anything like that. But there's a few lights here and there around the lake, and we appreciate that very much. So let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we come to you, once again, I come on behalf of the listening audience. I ask your special blessing to rest upon each one. And Father, whatever it is that they're experiencing at this time, I pray, Father, that they might sense your blessing, your presence, your strength, your courage. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Christmas for each one of the listening audience, whatever their plans are for Christmas and their family times and or whatever they're going through, if it's something physical that they need your help with, something financial, something emotional, something spiritual. Dear Father, I pray you meet the needs of the listening audience today according to your precious will. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we think about Christmas, Christmas is about a gift of wonder. Wonder. Gift of wonder. And our response to the gift. You know, God wants us to respond. Christmas is a celebration of God making good on the promise he made hundreds of years earlier. And he said a child would be born who would be both God and man. God delivered that promise in the person of Jesus as he was born there in the Bethlehem in the stable. The foundation of my Christmas message this year is a verse given to us in the book of Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You know what that means? Simply our word, Daddy. We can call our Heavenly Father, Daddy, because of what he did through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my message is primarily today hanging on to the idea, in the fullness of time. Jesus' birth was predicted 740 years before he was born. It was given in this way, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's in the book of Isaiah 7:14, given over 700 years prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus. I love God for many reasons, and I've learned that God's timing is never early. God's timing is never late. He's always on time. It's in the fullness of time, right at the right time. But can you imagine God's presence knowing he was going to send his Son into the world? But the idea that Jesus was born when the fullness of time had come, that God sent his Son. God was patient. He was waiting for just the right time. He was waiting for just the right people. He promised it 700 years before. But now all of a sudden the time has been ticking down and things have been getting in line for God's plan and purpose to send into this world his one and only Son, because he loved the world so much. I believe a part of the fullness of time was that people of that time needed to know in their heart and in their life that they needed this one Jesus to come to them, as it was stated. He was the Messiah, so that we and they might receive adoption of sons. The purpose of God just isn't to make a big splash with his Son. But the purpose is it's going to have something to do with your life and my life. And it's going to be that we're going to get adopted into the family of God through this one Jesus and what he's done for us. We need to remind ourselves this is something that God's Spirit tells us is going to happen, whereby you're going to be able to cry out to him, Abba, Father, Daddy, I love you. I know that this is at this age in my life, I'm so glad to call my Heavenly Father, Daddy. You know, I don't often share this, but it popped into my mind that I should probably share this morning. When my father died, I had a stepdad, as most of you know, and he wasn't very kind to me. And then I met my biological dad, and we had 20 years before he passed away. And then when he passed away, I was still quite young. And so I was thinking, in my early 40s, I still need a father figure. And I liked the idea of getting acquainted with my biological dad. And so I just pick out different men that were, you know, 20 years older than me in the church family. And then I would, some of them I let them know and some I didn't. I think, I'd like to have him for my dad. Well, you know, now I'm 84, soon to be 85. And it's kind of hard finding somebody 20 years older than you. So I go back to this idea, my heavenly father is my daddy. And I appreciate that so much. The gift of God is the gift of wonder, because how God's gift came into this world. In the humble wrappings of a baby born at a time when there was no room in the inn, he was born and then laid in a manger, a little unknown town of Bethlehem. Just think that God gave us Jesus, who was born in a place, who was not born in a palace of gold, but he was born in a stable. I've always loved this thought. When God created Adam and Eve, he created an adult. But when God wanted to tell us he loved us, he sent his son as a little baby. God loves us, folks. He trusted his son into the hands of the human race. That's something of great love that he has for us, and we know that's tremendously important for each and every one of us to get a hold of. Christmas, a gift of wonder. And our response to the gift is something that is very necessary. You know, I think about the idea of God's great love to us and what he's done in our behalf to show us how much he loved us. You know, when Jesus was born, in that Christmas story, which I put as a part of the Christmas story, there was a lady by the name of Elizabeth. And I want to make John, that was her son to be born, a part of the Christmas story, because he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And when Mary was told that she was going to give birth to this child, Jesus, she went to visit her cousin, I think it was, or relative, Elizabeth. In Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5, God also told many hundreds of years before Jesus was born, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground will become level, the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know what God is saying? One day there's going to be a fella come, and his main job is to prepare people to realize that we're all on the same plateau. I've always loved it in the Bible, and I've always loved it when I keep it straight in my mind, that none of us are any better than anybody else. You know, if a president of the United States, he gets 24 hours in each day. He gets 168 hours in a week. He gets 52 weeks in a year. You know what? If you're sitting in jail this morning, you know what you get? 24 hours every day. You know what you get? 7 days every week. Doesn't matter, folks, who we are, where we are, when we've lived on planet Earth. God is saying he's trying to make the ground level so that we all understand that we need him. And he was using John the Baptist in that day. And I believe God has used Christmas to try to teach us all the same thing, that we're all on the same level. We need a Savior. We need someone who loves us and cares for us like God has done. When it was time, John the Baptist, as he was called in those days, John the Baptist preached in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way for the Lord, make straight your paths. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. The people of Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around, they came to hear him preach, and many were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. You know what, folks? They were responding to John's message. He was there to make way, the way for Jesus to be born into us, our individual hearts and lives. John wrote later in his life, he called the people to come to a place of repentance. And then this is what he said, and I've always loved him for this. He said, the one that comes after me, I've baptized with water. But this one, Jesus, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? I'm not even good enough to reach down and unloosen his sandals. You know what we need to think about in respect to John the Baptist in the Christmas story? It's the idea, let every heart be prepared. We need to do something in our lives that says, I'm ready for this one Jesus to come into my life and into the things that I want to have be a part of my life as an individual. Christmas, a gift of wonder. Well, I got to speak a little bit about this idea of wonder. You know, I went to the Webster's Dictionary, and wonder is described as that emotion which excited by something new, something unusual, something great, something extraordinary, something that arrests your attention. It just draws your attention to it because of its grandeur or splendor. It's just something that draws you to it. You know what, folks? Bev and I are staying here this winter, and we had a good old snow here a while back. And you know, that snow stuck to the trees. And you know, when I would go for a drive wherever we had to go, some places when you're driving along the road, it was like you went through a nice, beautiful, white, beautiful tunnel. It just got my attention of how the pine trees looked. Got my attention. It's that emotion that says, this is beautiful. You know, all the pictures I've seen, a lot of people take pictures, was on Facebook and different things like that. But you know, to be there is better than the picture. To see. You know, when Bev and I do go to Florida, when we was going to Florida, I should say, you know, when you leave and it's white here on the ground, and it was last year, it was really white. And then when we started getting into the warmer climate, all of a sudden the white was being changed to green grass. And we kept noticing how much greener the grass was becoming as we made our way through Alabama and through the idea of coming closer to the Florida area. We're reminded. I love the way David said it one time in the Old Testament about this idea of wonder. Oh Lord, your mercy reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness is to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountain of God. Your judgment is like the deep ocean. You save people and animals. Oh Lord, your mercy is so precious. Oh, to God that Adam descended, take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are refreshed with the rich foods in your house, and you make them to drink from the river of your pleasure. Indeed, the fountain of life is with you. In your light we see light. Continue to show your mercy to those who know you, and your righteousness to those whose motives are decent. God, he just recognized just the goodness of God and the beauty of God himself. When I say John 3:16, that God so loved the world, that describes to me his beauty. The little teeny word so says to me, God loved you so much. And we need to know that that's what God is saying. I love a story that I share about a grandpa. He says, my two-year-old grandson was discovering bugs. He can't be walking along and sight a bug, and he stops in his tracks. There's no way to measure the wonder that fills his face as he leans even closer to examine the bug. As we're walking together yesterday, he was pointing out to me trees and birds and bugs and dogs and cats as if it had been the first time he'd seen one. He's reminding me that it's easy for us big adults to forget the wonder, mundane or commonplace, boring things that cause my heart to overflow with wonder. I love the words of the song, the star of wonder, the star of might, the star with royal bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guiding us to this perfect light. I didn't sing that, I just said those words, folks. I sang, if I was to sing, you'd turn the radio off. You know what? God's saying to us, he's saying, it's a wonder. It's just something that causes us to stand in awe. To stand in awe at the beauty of God's love as he reaches out to each one of us. Let me do one more little thought, and then I will take a break and give my voice a few moments of rest. Christmas is about the gift of wonder and our response to this gift. You know, when I think about this idea of this gift of wonder, there's an old hymn that I really like. It is called The Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Describes when it is, where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. The chorus goes on to say, wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin or shame, O magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. It sounds like what David was saying when he was thinking of the wonder of who God is. And it's the wonder of who Jesus was willing to be able to become in order for us to have this thing that we call salvation. I love John 3:16 when it is shared that God did so love the world. But you know what? I never like to share John 3:16 like I did a few moments ago without keeping in mind verses 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is not here to condemn us. He's here to give us new life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what God wants us to understand. Jesus is here, and he's here for our benefit. All of this thing called Christmas is not to make God God. He already is God, folks. And it's not to make Jesus Jesus. He existed in eternity past. It's here for our benefit. I stand amazed when I think that the love Jesus had was so much for each one of us. His willingness to leave heaven, his willingness to leave his position he had in heaven, and his willingness to come down here on earth and become one of us, a baby born in a manger, face the things of life like I have to face the things of life. And ended up, his life ended as he went to the cross of Calvary And him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for me. He was willing to become sin for you. I love it. And with this, we'll have a song. I love it the way it is stated in the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But listen, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. Now listen carefully. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God Father. To me, Jesus is that wonderful grace of Jesus as he reaches out to you and he reaches out to me. Another stanza of that song, and I'm not singing it, just saying the words. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaches the most defiled by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. All the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. That's the message of Christmas. That's the wonder of this thing called Christmas. Got a song I want us to listen to, and it's just simply saying, he's my Savior, and I can tell you folks from my heart to yours, he's my Savior. I want him to be your Savior because that's what he came to do, and we need to know that is important. So we'll listen in. I'll take a rest. I'll be right back.
See him in a manger laid, sent to earth, sin's price to pay. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him stand in Pilate's hall. See him take the blame for all. My Savior, he's my Savior.
He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. My Savior, because he rose in victory, and he will always be my Savior.
See him wear a crown of thorns. See him mocked and laughed to scorn, but he's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
My Savior, because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior, because he died in agony. He's my Savior, because he rose in victory. Savior, he's my Savior. throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory.
That song too. I love the words of the song, but I love the repeating, he's my Savior. Trust you're saying that this morning. He's my Savior. This little baby born and laid to have his first time of rest on the planet Earth in a manger. You know, all that I've been sharing so far this morning is talking about the thing of Christmas from heaven's perspective. And I really like the idea of heaven's perspective, that God loved us so much, that Jesus loved us so much he was willing to become one of us, even a baby in the manger. I love the stories of the angels that we'll get to in the weeks that lie ahead. The angels and the message that they brought of glory to God in the highest. It is a heaven thing, folks. This gift of wonder came from heaven. It came from God himself. But now we need to realize that we're going to be asking for a human response to this gift. What do you think about Jesus? Is he your Savior? Those kind of things that become a part of our life. So I want to go now to the human side. I want to remind you that there's a woman involved by the name of Mary. There's a man involved by the name of Joseph. And the gift of wonder starts with Mary. And I want us to consider the wonder of this person that was there at the fullness of time for this one Jesus to be born. I'm thinking this year of all the people that make up the Christmas story. I'm thinking of them being the wrappings of the gift of wonder Jesus. You know, you wrap a gift. Sometimes you find some really nice paper to wrap the gift. Some years when we didn't have much money, you had a free paper that you got on Mondays and a couple other things. We wrapped the gifts with newspaper. And that worked out okay. You know, when a little child opens a gift, they don't look at the paper and say, oh, this is beautiful. They just grab the gift and start unwrapping. Well, I think the wrappings, the people surrounding the birth of Jesus, are the wrappings of the gift of the wonder of Jesus. I love the wrapping of obedience that comes from Mary's heart in response to the message that the angels gave to her. This response is in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee to a town named Nazareth to a virgin who was betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came, this angel, to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at that saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said unto her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. That's in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Think of her hearing these words for the very first time, totally unaware, without any announcement before it. She has found favor with God, and the Lord is with her, and she's told not to be afraid. Then comes these words: you're going to conceive a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. I love Mary's response from her human heart. And Mary said to the angel, "How would this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born in you will be called holy. He will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age. She's also going to conceive a son in the sixth, and she's in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Just think about that. Mary's hearing this for the first time, and she's hearing about her relative Elizabeth giving birth to a baby who she knew, probably without a doubt, that she couldn't do this. And God is saying, with God, anything is possible. If God could take the dust of the earth and create a human being like Adam, and he reminds us, from dust you came and to dust you will return. If God could take a bone out of the rib of Adam and create woman, if God could take a barren woman that has not given birth in all these years, and she's past the childbirthing age, and all of a sudden she's pregnant with a baby, John. Do you realize? God is saying to Mary, the Holy Spirit's coming upon you, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring about a baby inside of you. And that's why he's going to be the Son of God. He's not going to be by the human way of a baby being born, through the gift of love between a man and a woman. But it's a gift from God to the human race. You see, everything about this birth of Jesus is wonder. We stand in amaze about that. The world don't understand. How is it possible for a virgin to give birth to a child never had a relationship with a man? And God is saying, all things are possible from him. But that's not the main part, folks. Some have made the virgin birth the main part. But that's not the main part. The main part is, behold, Mary said, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That was from Luke chapter 1, verse 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, Mary's heard those words, but that's going to be very difficult. That's going to be very hard for her to understand what all is going on. What is taking place? And all of a sudden, it seems like, in her life is turned upside down. She had no idea that anything like this was ever going to happen. And not only that, she's going to be found to be pregnant, and she's engaged to a man, and they had not had no relationship with one another. What's going to take place in her life now? What's going to happen? I'm so glad that God knows what God knows and God does what God does. Sometimes we want to question God down so fine, and I have to ask myself, who are you? Who am I to question God? I love that both Mary and Joseph responded was a response of obedience. They was obedient not only to the plan of God, but to the purpose of God. You know, when we read these things about the wrappings of the Lord Jesus, we gotta bring Joseph into the situation. And you know something about Joseph? Is given to us in the Word of God when he reminds us that Joseph was willing to be obedient to what God had said as well. He had an idea about divorcing her. They weren't married, but the engagement was as strong as a marriage. But God said to him, don't do that. God told him, this baby that's going to be born is the Son of God, and you're to call him Jesus. You know, of all the story of Christmases and all of the different four Gospels of the Bible, but in the Gospel of John, it's a little different, and I want to show you why this had to happen this way. In the Gospel of John, it doesn't give us anything about the virgin birth. It gives us nothing surrounding the Christmas story. It simply says this, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in the name, he gave them the right to become a child of God. That's God's purpose. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. Just like this baby Jesus is going to be born of God from a virgin. He's telling you and he's telling me that when we receive this one Jesus, we have the privilege of becoming children of God. The Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. The Word Jesus, the Word of God, was alive. And he went on, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father. He was full of grace and he was full of truth. John bare witness about this and cried out, this is what he whom I said, who was to come after me, before me, because he was before me. And from this fullness all have received grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace came by the Lord Jesus. You know what he's saying? God worked a miracle in having this baby Jesus born of a virgin. But he says God did that because God's working a miracle in your life. That when you say you believe in Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come and live in your life, God works a miracle. You've been born physically, but God gives you spiritual birth. Spiritual birth through this one that came. And the spiritual birth is that he allows you to become a child of God. He's in your life now. God living within us. God allowing us to call him Daddy, our Heavenly Father. God is reminding us that that's what Christmas is all about. And that's a wonder of wonders. You know, somebody said, I'm ready for Christmas. And maybe you are. And maybe I am too. I came across this and I liked it. Ready for Christmas, he said with a sigh, as he gave a last touch to the gifts piled high. Then Wordy sat for a moment and read till soon, very soon, she was nodding her head. Then quickly spoke a voice in her dream. Ready for Christmas? What do you mean? Ready for Christmas when only last week you wouldn't acknowledge your friend on the street? Ready for Christmas when holding a grudge? Perhaps you had better let God be the judge. Why now can the Christ child come and abide in a heart that is selfish and filled with pride? Ready for Christmas when only today a beggar had came and you turned him away, without even a smile to show that you cared. The little he asked, you could have spared. Ready for Christmas? You've worked hard, a lot of it is true, but just doing the things that you wanted to do. Ready for Christmas? Your circle's too small. Why don't you not get ready for Christmas at all? She awoke with a start and cried in despair. There's so little time and I still have so much to prepare. Oh, Father, forgive me and see what you mean. To be ready means more than a house swept clean. Yes, more than a gift that is given in a tree. It's a heart swept clean that he wants to see. A heart that is free from bitterness, ready for Christmas, and ready for Jesus. That's what we need, folks. That makes this wonder of Christmas a beautiful thing. Well, it's time for me to go, and I got a song I want us to listen to, so I need to punch this song right in, and this song is telling us, hark, the herald angels sing. No music in this, all voices. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Sinners reconciled, joyful on the nations rise, joy in the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to